welcome to Hype episode 35. I need to learn to look at the camera more. We have Kyle, Selena, and Josh here this week. Hello, guys.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
We have an interesting show this week, I think. We have some interesting topics to discuss today, including television season, because now the season is underway, and I want to know what everybody's watching, not watching, thinking it's going to get canceled, including maybe one of Selena's shows.
Maybe both of them.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it happens. But first, we're going to start with some news. Oh, but first, even before that, I want to plug. If anybody has any questions during the show, feel free to use the question form and in the Google Hangouts, and we will be able to see the question and read it on the air. We'll pretty much read anything, because the audiences for these shows during the Hangouts aren't that big, so it's not like we're getting hundreds of questions.
You got a good chance.
Yeah, you've got a good shot. Josh, who's still supporting Better Apart, by the way, in his subtitle on...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And that's okay.
We lost, so I'll remove that.
Yeah, you lost.
Yeah.
Not in a worse mood. So we're going to start with some Harry Potter news today, because why not? the big Harry Potter...
Story. Waste of this.
Yeah, we always do. Well, Harry Potter, you know, of course, everybody loves Harry Potter, so that's a good one to start out with. Guinness World Records has recognized the world's largest Harry Potter collection. Now, the previous one was 807 pieces, and by pieces they mean, you know, like
separate
a
little thing,
right? You know. A snitch, a book,
like individual stickers.
Yeah, so these are the pieces. So the previous record was 807. I didn't even know that there was a record already.
But this week,
somebody in Mexico, Menahem Asher Silva Vargas, a collection of 3,097 pieces has been deemed the world's largest, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. One of the world records is reps went down there, I guess counted all the pieces up, and there's a funny photo, like, the world records lady is happier than the guy is that
he just does not look happy. I saw that too.
I thought it was the girl who won. I was like,
I thought it was the girl who won too.
Well, maybe he's a little embarrassed or something, but then it's like, why would you bring attention to your collection?
Well, look at his Twitter. He can't be that embarrassed.
He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, maybe. so maybe he's trying to be all professional.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many pieces of Harry Potter merchandise do you guys think you have?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 50 or less.
Not 3,000. Yeah.
I used to. I mean, when I was younger, when the Harry Potter craze was, you know, all that, I had posters and I had sticker books and all that, but I don't have those anymore.
Well, did you call out?
I don't know what happened to them.
She burned them.
I remember I threw out my Dobby poster, because I was like, when I found out he died, I was like, I don't need him on my wall.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, you should have him up there as a tribute.
I had a lot of Lord of the Rings things.
I guess. I didn't think that way back then.
You're just upset.
Yeah.
I was kind of, when I was writing this article, I was thinking about it. I think I've probably got at least 50 things. I mean, books aside, just stuff, like when I was a kid, I collected a ton of Harry Potter stuff, like newspaper articles too. I would. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was me or my dad who always cut out these newspaper articles. But
I have these things on my wall of like collections of articles and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. See, I still have them all in one manila folder. I want to do something with them. Well, like
count
do
them.
Hypeable.
Break a Guinness World Record.
Most articles.
Most articles cut out.
You probably could win that, you know. Yeah. Most articles written about Harry Potter.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'll print out all my articles like plastic to the wall. So including those, it's probably well over 100 actually. But
did you guys ever have the potion making thing where you can make your own candy with the potion making, or like the Quidditch game?
That sounds so amazing.
And then they had a Quidditch game where the ball floated in the air, and you had to, like, move it through the different Quidditch hoops.
I've seen that one. I never bought it, though. I thought it was
You cool. know, we yeah. just, we never had cool stuff like this in Denmark. This is it. The most exotic we got was there was one store in, like, some random place in northern Denmark where they sold chocolate frogs. And that was it. That's all we got. and posters.
Oh, that's sad.
The weirdest Harry Potter item I ever had was, I still have it, is a pack of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets Coca-Cola glass bottles. And I think this, my dad bought these for me. I still got them. I think I Instagrammed it once or put it on Twitter. I don't know. When I'm back in New Jersey, I'll have to grab them again. But even weirder than that, and I didn't purchase it, were Harry Potter grapes. They were grapes. They were grapes at the food store with a Harry Potter label on them. It was some weird marketing.
Amazing.
But that was early on in the series. You wouldn't see them do that later on. There was nothing cheesy about the merchandise later on in the series. I mean, there was some cheesy things, but
I don't know. They'll put a logo on anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's
I can't wait for Fantastic Beasts Bananas.
Yeah.
So that's the memorabilia guy. Congrats to him. Lord released the first Mockingjay single this week. It's called Yellow Flicker Beat.
Mm.
Out with her going,
I know, I hate it.
I
didn't think it was that bad. I mean, I saw all the comments, but, you know.
Yeah, the more I listen to it, the more I...
Well, a lot of people were saying it sounds a lot like her other songs.
Yeah.
But I guess since I don't listen to her music all the time, you know, it sounded fun.
Yeah.
Well, like, the part that bugged me was just how much she's going, Yeah, it's like Beyonce going like, but like less sexy.
That's interesting. I like that. Good analysis right there.
I'm trying to see if I could play it through Google Hangout, but it doesn't look like I can. Anyway. I think it's... I actually like the song. It's on Spotify already, so I've been listening to it a bunch of times. And, yeah, so that's the first single. We still don't know, though, which other artists will be contributing to the soundtrack. I think we brought this up before. Lord says that it's going to be a group of people that you haven't heard from in a while, so...
So Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet, right. I'm hoping for 90s yeah. boy bands. 50 Shades of Degrees. What's their name? 98 Degrees.
50 Shades of Degrees.
I'm hoping that they're in this. That'd be cool. Just make it an all-boy band album.
The whole album. Just Lord and Backstreet Boys.
And
yeah. So this song is about Katniss, and the soundtrack is going to be released in November. So everybody has that to look forward to.
That trailer is still amazing, I swear. Mm. I keep watching it.
Oh, yeah.
It is, isn't it?
It just looks like a totally different movie, or a totally different story now.
In a good way.
Oh, in a good, a great way.
There was interesting news this week about the Beauty and the Beast live-action adaptation. Now, we've heard before, and we've probably spoken about it before, Guillermo del Toro is working on a live-action Beauty and the Beast, and Emma Watson was attached to star. He departed that project. We don't know what's going on with Emma Watson involving that movie. I'm guessing it's dead in the water. That was happening over at Warner Brothers. Then, simultaneously, there's been this live-action Beauty and the Beast movie in the works at Disney. Now, they've done a bunch of live-action leading lady films recently. We've got Cinderella coming out early next year. We had Maleficent. Is there another one I'm forgetting? But, you know, they're ramping up these live-action fairy tale remakes recently. And so Beauty and the Beast is one of them. And now we're hearing that Stephen Chbosky, the author and screenwriter of The Perks of Being a Wallflower, is working on the screenplay for this.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. This shocks me, though. I can't figure out why exactly. Do they want to make it YA?
Wasn't his first screenplay the Perks one? Like, he'd never written a screenplay before Perks. So.
Yeah, it was his first Hollywood... Well, no, he wrote Rent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, he really didn't have any screenwriting experience. And I remember asking him on the red carpet, you know, why did you write the Perks screenplay? And he said, I couldn't trust it with anybody else. And, you know, I care about the story so much about the reader, so I wanted to do it right. He's, like, the nicest guy on the planet. So then, yeah, he apparently he's working on this now. This isn't official yet, but I find it pretty interesting because he's obviously a great writer, so...
Yeah, he's actually written some television shows as well. Jericho, which I've never heard of. It, 26
yeah, that
episodes.
Was on for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on for a long time. And Brutally Normal.
Never heard of that.
But I didn't realize he had done anything other than Perks. So
yeah. What was I gonna say? I've tweeted and hosted at the same time.
You were talking about your interview. Yep.
Let's talk about another Disney movie.
Okay.
Big Hero 6. So
yes.
This is Disney's new Walt Disney Animation Studios is. Film of the year. They do a new movie every year. Last year, of course, was Frozen. It's going to be no topping that. But Big Hero 6, the new trailer came out. It stars here. Did we talk about this after I went to Disney?
I don't know if we did.
I don't remember.
So it stars Hero and this robot companion, Baymax. He's a healthcare assistant. It looks really funny. It does look very good, very Disney. Technically, it came out of a Marvel comic, but they're not pulling anything from the comics themselves except for the character names. That's it. Baymax does not look anything like he does in the comics. He looks
neither does Hero. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they Disney-fied it, and that's fine.
It's funny.
And it's really
we're
interesting.
Use comic, we're not going to use anything but the names.
Because
yeah. It's kind of like... It's kind of pointless.
It's actually very interesting, and when I spoke to the directors and the producer at Disney, they were trying to explain this to me, that one of the story writers, it was either one of the story writers or the producers, or one of the directors, who hasn't even read the comics, and he's like, I'm not sure I should say this, but I didn't even read the comics. they are not relying on them at all.
Yeah, no need to.
Yeah, they're just, I think John Lasseter just came to them and said, see what you can do with this. But this is Walt Disney Animation's first technically Marvel movie, even though it's not Marvel. It's a new, it's like, kind of like a new Incredibles, really.
Yeah, that's what I see.
It looks really, really good. Like, all the trailers I've seen so far are amazing.
Yeah. It appears to have a very strong family story.
And they're making the main character a face character at Disneyland, and it's hysterical because they can't find anyone who's Caucasian enough, like, and mixed with, like Caucasian and Asian, or like they can't find anyone, so they went on the deep end, and now everyone who plays Hero is like Japanese almost. Like it's so funny.
Well, he does look a little Japanese.
I know he definitely looks like he's
like anime.
From San Francisco, because San Francisco is like San Francisco and Tokyo, and he definitely looks like a citizen of San Francisco, but. It's so funny, the struggle that Disneyland is having with casting him.
The struggle is real.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a Baymax character?
There is going to be a Baymax.
Oh, good. There was Baymax cosplay at Comic-Con. It was hilarious. In a good way. It was, like, really good. Because he's, like, this puffy... He's, like, kind of like the Michelin Tire Man, or, like, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
I love when they put, like, the Iron Man suit on him, and he's, like, blows out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Big Hero 6, just one of the latest trailers out, looks really good. I think there's a pretty big spoiler in it, but if Disney's spoiling it, then I guess they don't really consider it a spoiler. I guess there's more surprises at the end. I have a theory, but I don't want to talk about it until, I don't want to spoil anybody, so.
I'm not aware of any spoilers, so I'm just...
Okay. So. Did you watch the most recent trailer?
I did, so I have no idea what in the heck...
Well, something happens to the brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just like that already happened to him like before the movie started.
Well, no, it happens at the very beginning of the movie. So that's why I'm like hesitant to spoil it. So I won't for now. We'll see how much more Disney slams it in everybody's face. Speaking of slamming, Miles Teller.
Oh god.
Slam Divergent. There's an interview with him in The Hollywood Reporter, and it's focused on his new movie, Whiplash. It's like a drumming movie. And when he heard about Whiplash, he felt, quote, dead inside due to Divergent. He said, quote, I didn't have an interesting part in Divergent, and I'd taken the film for business reasons. It was the first movie I'd done that was going to have an international audience. I called my agent and said, this sucks.
Surely he's doing this for attention. Like, there's no good reason to say this,
maybe
even if
just
he thought
stupid.
It.
Maybe he's stupid. Maybe he's just... Maybe he said it to the guy, like, after they, like, bonded, and they were like, yeah, man, like, I saw it, and it was like, it sucks. And, like, he just wasn't thinking.
So this article comes out, and then, like, an hour later, the Hollywood Reporter edits the article with a statement from the rep, from his rep, saying, accustomed to being more involved in the process of filmmaking, Miles regrets those words. He doesn't value his relationship with Lionsgate and his participation in the franchise. But then, later in the day, Miles himself tweeted, I've never done a movie for business reasons, quoting himself. I'm proud to be a part of Divergent. So he's backtracking, and as I wrote in my
better actor than I thought.
What's that?
He was a better actor than I thought.
As I wrote in my article, I interviewed him twice for Divergent, and he is so smug.
He is.
I was really surprised that you wrote this in the article, actually, because I thought, but I guess after what he said, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
I was just feeling angry that, like, it was kind of like a tipping point for me. I was like, you know, I've seen him, like, be over the, I've seen him kind of, like, not give a crap about talking mm-hmm. Divergent. And then for this to come out, it's just like,
At the Divergent red carpet in Comic-Con, like, not last year, this year, but last year, he was so annoying to interview and ask questions with, because at the press table, he was just bored and goofing off the entire time. And then at the red carpet, he was just, like, looking elsewhere and not looking at me, and he was just, like, looking at his watch, and he's, like, just answering questions, and, like...
Yeah.
I had, when you wrote this, I had seen a few interviews with him, and I had seen a similar response. But I watched him on Jimmy Fallon, like, the night after this happened, or a couple nights after, and he was talking about Whiplash, and it was, like, a totally different person. And I don't know if this must have been taped after he had done this, you know, debacle online, but he seemed like a totally different person after I saw him, not to give him a pass or anything, but he was on Fallon talking about the Whiplash German movie. And he seemed much more, involved in the promotion of his film. So maybe he just didn't like Divergent or something. You know?
I'm officially over him. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I mean, so he's got Insurgent. He's going to have to promote that in March.
That's going to be awkward.
That's going to be so...
doesn't make any sense. Well, like, unless he's trying to be that actor that is rude, and that's, like, his image that he thinks is going to get him notoriety, like Charlie Sheen Jr. Like, I don't know. Sure. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what especially sucks for him is that his reps sent out the statement that said he regrets those words, which confirms that he said those words, mm-hmm. and then he tweets out and he goes,
he
I never said those words.
Yeah.
Right.
But, like, I feel like, I was on the Divergent, like, press team, I'd be like, I'm pissed. Like, this kid needs to go. Like...
Yeah, I mean...
His role wasn't even big enough for him to, like... Like, if they recast him, like, I would not... Like, I don't know if they would. I don't care if they would or wouldn't, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because his role wasn't big enough for him... for people to be like, oh, they recast this guy, you know?
Top-rated comment on this article with 132 likes. Someone needs to take lessons from the Twilight cast on how to low-key hate the franchise you're a part of.
I thought that was really funny.
Reminds me of... the article that Marima wrote, like the 8 times that the Twilight cast hated Twilight.
Yeah.
It's like comments.
Rob used to just be like, I hate this movie.
Yeah.
I can't get out of here fast enough.
Yeah.
No, but Fox is loving this with Miles Teller being in their Fantastic Four reboot. You know, they finished filming and he's like trashing the film. They're probably like, oh God, this is not what we need with our shaky reboot.
Some more book to film news. The Maze Runner sequel was a big success at the box office, and Fox announced that same weekend that The Scorch Trials, the second movie, is going to be released September 2015. So basically a year to the day from the release of The Maze Runner, and filming on that is going to be happening very soon in New Mexico. There's been 3 castings announced this week. And I'm sure there's a couple more to come.
You're moving so quickly.
I know. Yeah. It's poor the author. He has to churn out these books so that the movies don't catch up to him.
It reminds you of a different author, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, but isn't the third one already published?
Main books are all published. He just announced the prequel.
Oh, it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I'd suggest, like, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but if anyone hasn't read the book and they're like, oh, I want to read the book before I see the movie, and like, no, like, don't. Just see the see the movie first and then read the book, because I read the book and then the movie and I hated it. Like,
or just
I hated the movie because it was so different. Like I need to see it again, because that's all I was focusing on. All I was focusing on was, oh, well, why did they change this and then this and then that and then this? Like,
really?
Like, the changes were, like, they're good changes, and, like, they made the movie better, but, like, the first time I watched it, I was just like, whoa, this is so, so different. And I feel like, and the movie, and the book isn't even good enough to warrant reading it first, so, like, I was like, I wish I'd never read the book. Otherwise, I would have loved
the movie. Taking lessons from Miles Teller there.
Had you read the book recently before you saw the film?
Yeah, I, like,
that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's because it was so fresh, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started reading the book like a year ago when I heard about this movie, and I just got a few pages into it, and I just knew
it's right. Bad. It's so bad.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, a lot of
it's
people
love
it.
It's not bad, but it's not. I mean, it's very predictable, I think, is kind of the main thing. Like, you know what's gonna happen. And you know what the twist is, and it's the same with the movie. So I think if you're going for just to experience the story, just watch the movie. I think it's enough.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of it on Rotten Tomatoes, I see Rotten Tomatoes has a new design. Very exciting. The Maze Runner's got a 62%. That's not bad. That's not bad for a book to film adaptation.
No, the movie itself is good. The movie is really good. Like, everything that they did to change it made it into a fantastic movie. It's just, if you're gonna read the book, read it after.
Okay. A little X-Men news now. So X-Men Apocalypse is going to be officially directed by Bryan Singer. We kind of knew as much a few weeks ago, right, Josh? And now it's official.
I guess he signed his contract. He had already signed on. He just hadn't signed a contract, apparently.
And three roles, Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Storm, are going to be recast. But it's understandable because why, Josh?
Because this movie takes place in the 80s, and they would be too young. Or
and
they would be too old,
that,
rather.
Like, they already died and got revived, I think it's okay. Like,
but isn't it kind of strange that they bring them all back just to not use them ever again? I was like, yes, Jean's back, and then they're not going to see her again.
Nope. But we will, just a different actor. When the recasting announcements come, we'll be all excited.
Yeah, and I wonder how, I guess...
It'll be Shailene Woodley.
I mean, they're supposed to, no, it's supposed to be like 30, 35 years before where we saw them last, so they'd have to be
so
pretty
be
young.
Like five.
Yeah, like they'd have to be pretty young, but maybe they're, you know, maybe they're just going with like the X-Men First Class look, where they're like teenagers, late teenagers.
Netflix announced some major news last night, right at midnight. I don't know why it deserved a midnight announcement, but... Adam Sandler is going to produce and star in four movies exclusively for Netflix. So we know how Netflix does these original television shows and like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, all these. Now they're going to be doing original movies. And what do you guys think of Adam Sandler? Four Netflix exclusive Adam Sandler movies. I don't get it.
No.
I hate it.
I hate
Adam Sandler.
Yep. Nope. No, thank you.
I used to love Adam Sandler, and now I hate him because of every terrible movie he's released in the last, like, 10 years.
What was the last great Adam Sandler movie, Josh?
Wedding Singer.
Probably.
Wedding Singer?
Oh. I don't even remember, honestly. It's been at least a decade.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Netflix wants to get into the original movie business, and I think that's really cool because they've done such a great job with television. But I guess, you know, to start this whole movie thing, they got to start with some bad movie, bad talent.
And I actually get this combination because Sandler does a lot of his own producing, and I can understand where they want to get a director or a producer that does a lot of this stuff that they don't really have people that do yet. You know what I mean? And he'll have all this experience, despite his movies being bad. He'll be able to put together a film where maybe they don't want to have to hire a million people to, you know, make a movie. And Sandler obviously can make movies on the cheap and make a lot of money. I mean, that's what his movies make a lot of money. Or, I mean, for how much they cost. So maybe that's their goal, is to find someone like him who's a big enough name, but obviously it's not great quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no date on these, but also this week Netflix announced that they are going to they've teamed up with the Weinstein Company to do a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel. This is also going to be debuting exclusively on Netflix and in IMAX theaters, select IMAX theaters. Now, movie theaters are pissed. Movie theaters are pissed.
I bet.
AMC, Regal, and one other is not happy about this. They weren't happy about this Crouching Tiger news, so... You know, there's been reports this week about how annoyed they are, and then Netflix announces this Adam Sandler thing about 12 hours ago now, so we'll see how they respond to it, but they won't be happy about this either. And, you know, I kind of like that. This is good for competition. Now, maybe movie theaters can lower the cost of their tickets a little bit or make food in the theater a little cheaper. We did an article about this. They are spending a lot of money, and I applaud them for this. They're spending a lot of money to upgrade their theaters. They have those lean-back seats in their theaters now. If you haven't been to one yet, you should go try it out. They are very comfortable.
You sound like a rep for AMC.
Well, it's a good experience. I like it a lot. And the movie tickets aren't much more money. But they're doing it to entice people to come in, because now there's so much competition from home entertainment. Everybody's got a nice TV at home these days. The widescreen TVs are cheap. You know, Blu-ray players are cheap. Netflix is obviously cheap. So they got to keep up with the competition, and this isn't going to help their
cause. It surprises me that box office numbers are down, or attendance is down, because every time I go see a film at a normal, like a 7 or 8 o'clock time, it's always sold out. You know what I mean? So it just surprises me that I guess it trails off quicker now than it used to.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But you know, as long as they still have these big blockbusters like Mockingjay, of course, it's gonna bring everybody into the movie theater.
Yeah, Marvel.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah. All right, so that's what's happening there. We should also bring up the Twilight news. I forgot to put it in the doc, strangely enough. Lionsgate announced they're going to be doing at least 5 Twilight short films. They're going to be...
Short films, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
They're going to be produced and directed by aspiring filmmakers, female filmmakers. The movies are going to hit Facebook exclusively in 2015. It's
kind of interesting, actually. I kind of like it.
Yeah, right? Because aspiring female filmmaker, you know, it's geared towards a certain little niche. Mm-hmm. That will be appreciative of this opportunity. And now, the most interesting part of this is the voting board, the stars who are going to be selecting movies or ideas. We still don't know how this is going to work.
Is it like fan fiction movies? Or?
Well, they say the movies are it's going to be based in the Twilight Encyclopedia, which came out in 2011. So they're going to be sort of canon, I think. But they're going to be...
Could you imagine if they did this for Harry Potter? Like, could you imagine the difference?
Oh, yeah.
People would be... Everybody would be so excited. And now it's like half the people are excited, half are like, oh, more Twilight, we don't want it. But this is a great opportunity. I mean, I think this is a really, really interesting development. Yeah. And it's really cool to get to play in that world, not just like, la la la, I'm writing fanfic, but actually doing a movie.
So, and it's not even a cash grab. Like, a lot of people were saying it was like a cash grab.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, they're putting it on Facebook. It's not like it's a, you know, it's not going to be a pay to watch.
Right. Presumably, yeah, you're not going to pay. But, Selena, I actually disagree with you about Harry Potter. I think people would be pissed if they did this with
you
Harry Potter.
So? Unless,
yeah, because people are so...
protective?
More protective of the story. Unless J.K. Rowling was writing the screenplays. But then you leave it up to people... who are aspiring, any sort of aspiring filmmaker, leaving it up to them to do these movies. What if they tear them apart? What if they turn out really bad?
I guess that's true. I was just thinking about how many people would dream of getting the chance to get, you know, direct something Harry Potter material, you know?
Definitely.
But will the actors be involved, or?
Well, so the voting, no, the actors, and then the New York Times says the actors are probably not coming back, so there's going to be recasting.
Robert Pattinson lining up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Robert wants to come back. But the voting board is very interesting. Stephanie Meyer, the author, Kristen Stewart, obviously she played Bella.
Oh, cool.
And Octavia Spencer. Now, I think those two involved, thanks to Divergent, because Divergent also owned by Lionsgate. Jennifer Lee, Frozen's co-writer and co-director, Catherine Hardwicke, the original Twilight director, Julie Bowen, she's an actress, and Women in Film president Kathy Schulman, Women in Film is also running this with Lionsgate. So, very interesting voting board, I think.
Yep.
I don't know if it's going to improve the quality of these films, but but whatever.
I don't know. I hope they're good.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm gonna.
I don't see it as a bad thing. I think it's a neutral thing.
A Lionsgate head was interviewed for this story for the New York Times, and they said they're hinting that they're keeping the Twilight fandom on a low burn to eventually get into something bigger. So, spin-off movie, remake. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
Kyle is not amused.
Considering this, considering what they're doing with Twilight, they're probably going to do something similar for The Hunger Games.
We just got a question in, and Erica is asking, what story are we hoping to see in these short films? I'm like, I think it would be cool to see the science side, or like how their vampire questions, how their vampire powers like come into effect. Like, I know like their vampire powers are based off their personality, but I want to see more like on that, because I think that was the coolest part of the Twilight franchise.
You know,
No,
I was just gonna say off of that. I mean, what's really cool is about Twilight, which is kind of a Stephanie Meyer. It's kind of a rip off of the Vampire Diaries. No, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Getting my vampires mixed up. is the backstory, you know, all the past vampires, the powers, all the vampires that sort of return in the last book kind of reminds me of all the past Slayers and Buffy. And sort of going back to that, seeing the origins of the Volturi and the origin stories of some of these minor players, kind of like going back and exploring past Slayers. And I like that. I like origin story stuff.
Yeah, origin stories would be cool.
Well, remember in the... Edward goes back in time and shows Bella kind of like when he was a bad person, then he was, or a bad vampire and was killing, like, murderers and stuff like that. And yeah, like you said, it was interesting to see, like, they've been alive for so long, you can see all these, you know, weird, like, places they've been. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah. What if they did Midnight Sun?
Oh, wow.
That would be interesting.
With recast Edward, or?
Yeah, I mean, well, all the characters are going to have to be recast. So, I mean, Midnight Sun, if they want to get attention, that would certainly...
That would, for sure, yeah.
Helen Lutz would probably come back.
Yeah, probably. No.
The Phelps twin.
Some of those Twilight have never past Twilight. Just really quick, I want to mention The Walking Dead spinoff is casting six characters. They've cast six characters. I just realized that I miscounted in the headline. How embarrassing! It was a weekend. It's okay. But yeah, they're starting the search for six characters, and that is underway now. They're shooting the pilot later this year. I'm pretty excited to see what happens. So. Little more book news. First of all, Let It Snow, the John Green, Maureen Johnson, Lauren Miracle book has been optioned for film rights.
Everyone is jumping on this John Green train.
By Universal. Yeah, I haven't read this, but...
I haven't read this one.
Nobody thinks this can be turned into a movie, right?
My friend isn't looking forward to it because he liked the book a lot, but he's not looking forward to the movie. So I don't know what his reasons are, but yeah.
Well, it's like a short story collection, I think. Yeah, it's a short story collection.
But so. Everything has to be a movie, I think.
Oh yeah, or they have to at least try.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this one is gonna take off.
Me neither.
It just doesn't make sense. Maybe like a direct to digital or something. Make a short film series and release it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Call them Netflix. They'll make anything.
We mentioned James Dashner doing the prequel. Little other book news, Rick Riordan has announced a new series, Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard.
Sounds like a PI detective novel.
Oh, nice.
It will come out.
This guy is crazy. He comes out with so many books all the time.
The amount of mythologies that this guy has to write about is insane. He's done Egyptian and Greek, and now he's doing, what is that, Norse? Yeah. Jesus.
Well, that's good. I mean, Karen is so excited. Our resident Percy Jackson fan. She's very excited by this news. So
I'm excited, too. I love all of his novels, so it should be really
going to be out October 2015, so 1 year to go. And speaking of books, this is Banned Books Week. Sorry, last week was Banned Books Week. This is the week where the ALA announces the most challenged books. Number one was Captain Underpants. I used to read that book. I turned out okay.
Yep, me too.
Me too.
I'm wearing underpants. So, who was I by Toni Morrison? I haven't heard of that
book. Oh, that ooh, it is graphic.
The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. Number four, 50 Shades of Grey. Of course, we all know why that was challenged. Mm-hmm. Number five, The Hunger Games. Religious Viewpoint and
Unsuited. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
A Bad Boy Can Be Good for a Girl. Number seven, Looking for Alaska by John Green. Number eight, The Perks of Being a Wallflower by Stephen Chbosky. Number nine, Bless Me, Ultima. And number 10, Bone, the series. I don't think it's banned for the reason I'm thinking.
Political viewpoint. So we can ban a book for its political viewpoint. Nice.
It's always interesting to see what people are challenging.
Yeah, this is interesting. I've never really looked at a list like this.
And another... another John Green book, Fallen Our Stars, was challenged.
Was high school, middle school. It was a middle school
library. They decided because of the sex scene.
Ooh.
But it's barely even a sex scene. The problem is that these books are getting challenged, and I don't think the people who are on these voting boards, in the case of the Fallen Our Stars, are actually reading the book all the way through. Because you would see. And the mother was like, oh, you know, there's death in this book. And as John Green quipped on Tumblr, you know, I hate to break the news to readers that people die.
Yeah. People get cancer, and they die.
Yeah, it's silly, and it bums me out. Especially the Fallen Our Stars. Especially
that's pretty bizarre. I wonder how much you have to, like complain. Yeah, I wonder how much you have to complain.
Like everyone's trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you just go to the school and you voice your concern, and then they pass it along. And then, like I said, this Fallen Our Stars in particular, they have a voting board on books that should be. They decide if a book should be removed or not. And
that's just crazy. Mm-hmm. That there's even this is even happening in places.
Yeah. So TV season is underway now. I think we have one more week of premieres. Maybe two, and then everything is going to be running in full force. I wanted to talk about what everybody is watching, because now that the season's underway, I wanted to get everybody's thoughts on what's good, what's not. Selena, let's start with you, because you've been very supportive of two shows in particular.
Yes, I have. Sorry. there it is. No, I... have been covering a few shows, Red Band Society and Selfie. I've also been covering Once Upon a Time, which is doing well, thank God, because Selfie and Red Band, it was two of the new shows that we wanted to cover for this season because they seemed interesting, but they are both doing terribly. I mean, Red Band, I'm covering them, so I'm not going to say any bad word about them. You will never hear me do that in public. But, I mean, Red Band is resonating with people. It's sort of really badly because it's kind of trying to be mainstream. No, that's the wrong word. But it's trying to be the Fault in Our Stars meets Glee, kind of perky teen drama set in a hospital. And that's already a thing that shouldn't work. And it doesn't really. Although I do have to say, I think the third episode was really, really good compared to the first two. So I hope it gets a chance. Yeah.
That show is really... It has such great potential to be an amazing TV series, but so many people are just kind of offended by the idea and by the concept of how they're glamorizing hospitals. Like, I have a friend who suffers from, I don't know the name of her, what she suffers from, but she doesn't like the fact that, like, the kid with cancer has gigantic hairy eyebrows, and, like, to make him more attractive. And, like, she doesn't like the fact that they're all dressing like they're in Hollywood. So, like, people are just like...
I think that's the thing. It's not so much... I mean, the idea sounds interesting on paper, but I think it's when you watch the show, and there are all these really, really offensive jokes about eating disorders and people with heart diseases and just these things, and you sort of you have to take a step back and say, what am I... You know, am I supposed to be laughing at this? Is it okay? But I think the more you get into the characters and the less shallow it gets, the better it's going to get.
Yeah,
and then there's Selfie, which I just think is funny because I've been trying to cover it the best that I can on Hypeable, and it's getting such polarized responses. I think it's hilarious. Like some people just hate it so badly, and that makes me want to write more about it because I'm like, ha ha.
But some people really like it.
Yeah, some people do really like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's just the name. That's one of the big mistakes with that.
Yeah.
Calling
it. Yeah.
Turns people off from the start. Yeah. That's a word that nobody really likes.
I hate
the song in the first 2 minutes. Like, let me take a selfie.
Yeah.
It's blasting, and you're like, oh no.
Really? Oh. Hmm. Yeah. Well, my friend Terry, I think, wrote something about being a vomit-worthy start to the show. But once you get past that, it's better.
I feel like it would be kind of good, yeah. It would be more entertaining if Karen Gillan kept her accent for it. I think that would have been way better.
So. Getting into some other shows, while we're on Fox with Red Band Society, Grace Point is starting today. Grace Point is interesting because it is a clone of Broadchurch. They both star David Tennant. Broadchurch aired last year on ITV. Everybody loved it. This is like the same exact show, and it's kind of weird that David Tennant is doing this show again.
It's so weird.
And he's filming Broadchurch Season 2 right now, and he's open to a Grace Point Season 2, he said in a recent interview. So, I watched the first episode. I watched all Broadchurch, so like I know what happens. Apparently, they're changing the whodunit at the end. It's a different killer. I loved Broadchurch, and so that's why I wanted to cover Grace Point. The first episode, it almost shot for shot, just like Broadchurch.
What is the point?
They want to bring it to American TV. I guess they could have just bought the rights to it and aired the same one. But
I mean, they did that with The Killing, too.
The
Danish show.
Yeah. The good news is that Anna Gunn stars in Grace Point, and I love Anna Gunn, Breaking Bad. She's fantastic in that. So she's good in this as well. Well, I haven't watched the rest of the series yet. I think it's going to be fine. If you haven't seen Broadchurch, I would definitely check it out because it's going to be a whole new story for you. And it's David Tennant, and people love David Tennant. So, and he tries to do an American accent, but I don't think it's working out so well.
I always hate that. I wish they just let them use their accent.
Seriously.
Yeah. They all sound better.
I hate the trend of like taking British actors and making them American. I hate it so much.
Like,
unless it's Kate Winslet, most of them can't do it.
Another new show is How to Get Away with Murder.
That show's so good.
Yeah, it's airing tonight. The second episode airs tonight on ABC. Airs at 10 p.m. after Scandal. Surprisingly, it did better than Scandal last Thursday, rating-wise.
Oh, I'm not surprised, but...
Well, I thought the Scandal lead-in, of course, was going to help, but I didn't think people were going to tune in at 10 p.m., more people are going to tune in at 10 than they did at 9. I guess it's a new show, and there's been...
It has the opposite problem of Selfie. Like the title gets you. Like, the title gets you right away. Like,
yes.
And the problem, maybe that helped it. You had Scandal's audience, and then you had the new audience that was looking forward to the show, you know?
Yeah.
Right. How to Get Away with Murder had a ton of surprises in the first episode. So if they can keep that up, if they can keep the shock value up, it's going to be a very good season.
And there's actually a really fantastic article on some website that I don't care enough to look up. But they talked about how it's produced by not by Shonda Rhimes, but one of like
somebody in Shondaland wrote it, but it wasn't Shonda Rhimes.
Yes, exactly. And they point out all the examples as to how this isn't a Shonda Rhimes show because they don't follow the format or the formula for a Shonda Rhimes show, and it's really good. Like,
but interestingly, the part of the success of the show comes off the fact that it's a Shondaland drama.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they're pulling the whole entire Thursday night lineup. Thank God it's Thursday around Shondaland.
It's Shonda. And then, of course, Scandal premiered last week. I'm into the show. I like it. But I know not everybody's a fan of Scandal, so we don't have to get into that. What other shows? Josh, you tried Gotham last night for the first time. How did that work out for you?
Well, I tried Gotham because, obviously, I'm a big Batman fan, film fan, and I didn't love Gotham. I thought the casting was off, especially with Jim Gordon. I can't remember the guy's name now. Ben McKenzie. I just felt like it was a little too like a cop show, like, you know, a regular cop show that you see. I guess it's like buddy cop. I don't know. They stuffed so much into the pilot that I was like, everything was so blatant that it was like slapping me in the face.
They only did that for shock value or like just to like get people like really, really invested. And the executive producers, like all the other characters that they're going to introduce are going to be more like streamlined into the plot, and they're not going to be
because they basically have every, for people who haven't seen it yet, they have every Batman villain ever in the first episode. And so it's a little jarring. So I watched the second episode and it was improved. But I know Tariq cares about this a little more than I do, but I'm worried about it. But I'll tell you this, another show, if Andrew doesn't mind, I've been watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I watched the first season last year, and the first episode I struggled with a little bit, but the second episode this week was really good. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like sometimes I have to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more than once to catch all the crazy stuff that happens in the episodes. And I don't know if that's maybe it's just me
I definitely do too.
There's storylines everywhere. And so I feel like I miss half of an episode, so I'll watch it. As soon as I finish watching it, if I watch it live, I'll watch it on DVR again because it's just, you know, there's so much going on.
And there are Easter eggs now. All the Easter eggs. Exactly. It's insane.
Now, the only bad thing is the premiere, or the first episode this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was at 5.8 million. 5.84 million. But the second episode dropped down to 5 million. So, obviously, that's not a huge drop for first episode to second episode. But it's their lowest since, you know, the first episode last year. But I think ABC is keeping this show on TV because Disney is like, we want to keep this show on TV for the movie crossovers, you know.
Plus,
I think Joss Whedon still involved.
I think his brother is.
Brother, Jed.
Yeah. Same thing.
But what I've heard from insiders is that the ABC likes this show because it has a huge male audience, which they don't have with a lot of their other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you take into account like their Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and like all the like mostly female audience, so it's good for them to get kind of like a new demographic with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so it's like they have 5 million isn't a lot. Yeah, but they feel like 5 million and where more than half are men, they're pretty happy with it.
That show's not going anywhere. Any other shows we should mention? One or two more.
Downton Abbey is really good this season.
I watched the first two episodes.
Just got so excited.
I wasn't looking forward to it because I haven't seen much promotion. I mean, I'm here in America. That's part of the reason why. But then, so I watched. I was like, all right, I'll watch. And it was so good.
It's amazing. It's really great.
Homeland also starts up this Sunday. I watched the 2-hour premiere. It is fantastic. Danny, you watch Homeland?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so last end of season 3, a very important character died who had to die. And now that he's dead, the show is going through a reboot, and this reboot is great. It's like shocking the first 2 hours. I absolutely loved it. So
I can't wait. Claire Danes is amazing.
Yeah.
Vampire Diaries returns tonight.
Yes, Vampire Diaries is on tonight. Hell yeah. Good. And Sleepy Hollow is fantastic. The premiere was amazing. It was a little confusing with a contrived plot at the very beginning because they're like, oh, we skipped a year. Wait, JK, we didn't. But other than that, it's really good. The season's going to be amazing.
Priscilla wrote in with a question. She totally agrees about Gotham not being impressive, but with all the new comic TV shows, is there any chance you guys will do a comic podcast? I don't know. Actually, there's been murmurs around Hypeable. Some people are considering, I think, some sort of comic show. I don't know.
Mostly because the shows haven't been amazing. Maybe if they turn out better, we'll think about it.
Yeah, well, especially like when Agent Carter starts up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be a good
give show. Give the current shows more room to breathe and get renewed for a second season before investing into a whole podcast about them.
That's true too. Okay, so in terms of cancellations, it may
Gotham
society. No, Gotham's not canceled. Well, maybe. I don't know.
It's so high concept. I mean, the hype before the show started, that counts for a lot. I think.
I think I agree. Exactly.
Put a lot of money into it.
And a lot of my friends are really loving Gotham too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I could just be bumped right out of the top of the demographic of Gotham. But I just assumed, I wasn't looking forward to it that much, even though I love Batman, just because I feel like, they're just playing off Batman without Batman. Although Bruce Wayne was in it quite a bit, the young Bruce Wayne.
See, I think the show has a lot of people who are going to keep tuning in only because they want to see what's going to happen. And because of that, it's going to get renewed.
I thought people the only good actor, though, was the mob boss, Falcone. I thought everyone else was terrible.
Oh, I love everyone in it. Whatever, man.
I knew I was going to do this to you, Tariq, so I'm sorry. But it's fine. I had to be honest.
So, yeah, I mean, clear cancellations right now. Utopia at Fox isn't looking too good. That show was just pulled from Tuesday. Yeah. Even though it was going to go to once a week anyway. Now it's only on Fridays, so that's probably not going to help. Friday, not a good time slot for television shows. It's like a reality show where it's like they make their own
so bad.
World, make their own utopia, being shot in L.A. But yeah, so that's not doing so well either. But yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. We'll, of course, bring news of cancellations when they're announced because it is a big deal. There's so much hype around a lot of these shows, and then...
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, when you think about how long these have been, like, just choosing, like, oh, my show, I wrote a show, it got into development, we're casting actors, there's producers, and there's runners, and there's cameramen, and there's all these things, and then they do, like, 5 episodes, and it's like, yeah, you're done.
Yeah, that's
like, it's so weird.
That must be crushing.
It must be.
Especially because it probably takes a long time to get funding for TV show.
Oh, yeah. So, looking at the calendar now, today, for Pixar's Inside Out is supposed to be coming out. Pixar, obviously, no new film this year. It was supposed to be The Good Dinosaur, but The Good Dinosaur got delayed. I think they're going to come back swinging with Inside Out. It is directed by Pete Docter, who directed The Incredibles, I believe. And this movie takes place inside the mind of a young girl who just moved to San Francisco, and the characters are her emotions, and they're played by big stars like Amy Poehler. So the teaser trailer is supposed to be out today. So the reason I wanted to bring that up because it's going to be that curse where we release an episode and then something comes out that we should have spoken about. So Inside Out, the trailer, I'm sure the trailer is great. Grace Point, like I mentioned, premieres tonight. Legend of Korra begins to stream on October 3rd. That's tomorrow. Episode 1 of Season 4. So remarkably, Season 3 just ended. It switched to streaming only. Nick pulled it from the airwaves. And now it's coming back. The Season 4 is set like 3 years later. It's going to be the final season. I wanted to mention that because we have a big Korra audience on Hypeable, even though I don't watch it.
And Walking Dead premieres next Sunday. Season 5.
Premieres next Sunday, yeah.
You know what? I've noticed there hasn't been that much. There's a lot of promotion, but the footage is just not there. They just can't show any footage, you know, yeah. Which is exciting, but I'm also kind of angry because I can't find anything to watch.
Well, the first reviews are out of the premiere, and
they
it's the best episode since the
Oh, I can't wait. It's like it's the thing I'm most excited about. Like, even more of the movies right now. I don't know what it is.
It's going to be action-packed, at least the first episode. One more TV thing, American Horror Story Freak Show, that October 8th.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, it looks, looks
like it does look good.
That's going to be pretty nutty. And finally, Gilmore Girls, a show I've never watched, but it is on Netflix as of yesterday, October 1st, and that is a big deal to a lot of people. Brittany, who is actually watching this show right now, took a photo and put it on Twitter. She put together a great article, the 10 must-see Gilmore Girls episodes on Netflix. It's very handy. Maybe you want to watch Gilmore Girls on Netflix this weekend. Use this guide to pick out some episodes to watch, or just watch the whole season, whichever.
I really want you to say Gilmore Girls 5 times fast, because you're struggling a lot with that.
Gilmore Girls. And finally, character combat continues on Hypeable.
It is a close call. The poll ends in like 2 hours, and Molly Hooper is behind by 5 votes behind Korra from Legend.
Really? I know that Sherlock is a bigger show, but I would think that the Korra character is much better.
Oh well, no, Korra's ahead by 5.
Oh yeah, but 5.
I know. It's going to be interesting. So watch out later today for the new battle to see who won.
Ooh.
And I just had a comment here on the last episode's article that I thought we should read before wrapping up the show. Prisoner Zero said, "You talked about Kristen Wiig on Ghostbusters 3. First, I personally think it should have a bigger female team. That will be the male team from the first two movies. Second, my dream cast for the female team would follow the 5-woman band. The leader would be Tina Fey. The Lancer would be Amy Poehler. The smart girl would be Kristen Wiig. The big girl would be Melissa McCarthy. And the chick would be Jennifer Lawrence." So that is the fantasy casting.
The big girl.
One of our...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Great cast.
She's referring to the big guy. In the original Ghostbuster, something like that. So, thank you everybody for listening. As usual, we record every other Thursday live on Google Hangout. If you want to watch us live and watch me tonight, every other Thursday. So, our next episode will be October 16th at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. What else? As always, you can go to the article announcing this post on Hypeable and sound off about anything we spoke about on the show today. We may read your comment next week. Thank you, Kyle, Selena, Josh. And
thank you.
See everybody next time for episode 36. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.